Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 25th Perek of Hilchos Shabbos. In this Perek, the Rambam will discuss the well-known but little understood concept of Muktzah, how Chazal forbade us from moving, from using certain items on Shabbos. The Rambam will go through many of these intricate details in this very fascinating Perek. Halacha Aleph. Yesh kli shemalachto l'heter, v'hu kli shemutter lasos bo b'Shabbos, davar shenasa lo b'chol. There are certain vessels, certain items, which their purpose is a permitted purpose to do on Shabbos. They have a primary purpose that they're used for, and you're allowed to do that purpose on Shabbos. Kigon kos lishtosbo, ukar lechobo, v'sakin lichichdochbo basar upas, v'kornas liftobo agozim, ukiotzpen. Such as a cup to drink with, you're allowed to drink on Shabbos. A bowl to eat with, you're allowed to use a bowl to eat with on Shabbos. A knife to cut meat or bread, this little hatchet thing that they would use to cut open nuts, and anything of these sorts. Those are kelim shemlachtam leheter. Halacha beis. On the flip side, v'yesh kli shemlachtol iser. There are other types of vessels where their primary purpose is one which is forbidden on Shabbos. But huach klisha asur lasos bo b'Shabbos davar shenasebo. And that is an item which it is forbidden to do on Shabbos, the purpose that they stand for. Kigon machteshes v'richayim v'kiyotzipahen, such as a grinder, a millstone, or the like. She'asur lechtosh v'litchom b'Shabbos. Since to use them for their purposes, to crush something or grind something on Shabbos, is forbidden. Halacha gimel. Kol kli shemlachtol heter. Bein ha'yashal eitz, oshal cheres, oshal evan, oshal mateches, mutter l'taltel b'Shabbos. Any item which is melachtel heter, whatever it's made from, whether it's wood or earthenware, stone or metal, doesn't matter, it's permitted to move it on Shabbos. Bein mishvil atzmo shel kli, bein l'tzorach makomo, bein l'tzorach kufo. Whether it's for the sake of the kli itself, whether it's to use the place where it was, or to use the kli's body itself, we'll see what these all mean as we go forward. B'chol kli shemlachtol iser, on the flip side, any vessel which its primary purpose is to do something, if you were to use it for that purpose on Shabbos, which is forbidden, bein ha'yishel eitz, oshel cheres, oshel abanim, oshel mateches, whatever its material again, whether wood, earthenware, stone, metal, mutter l'taltel b'Shabbos, bein l'tzorach gufo, bein l'tzorach makomo, it is permitted to move it on Shabbos for the sake of itself, meaning to say the item's body to use it, or for the sake of its place, meaning to say, you want it to be moved so you can use that space. However, for the sake of the kli itself, not its body, but we'll see in a moment, the Rambam will illustrate in the next halacha what this means, that is aser, that is forbidden. Halacha dalet, ketzad, the Rambam is going to illustrate for us now. A person can move a wooden bowl to eat with it, or to sit in the spot where it was, or you can move it for the purpose that it should not be stolen, considering where it is right now. V'zehu b'shvil atzma. That's what we mean when we mean for its own sake. V'chein im tilto osa min achama, k'dei shol tis yabish b'ti shaber, o min agashavim, k'dei shol tis bach b'ti fasid, hariz im tilto b'shvil atzma, umutter b'mnei shem lach tol heter. If you move this wooden bowl out of the sun so that it doesn't dry up and break, or out of the rain so it doesn't get so saturated with the rain that it will end up being useless and unusable, well, that's called moving it for the sake of itself. And that's permitted, because this is a kli that's melach de laheter. However, halacha hei, v'chein metaltel hu arichayim v'machteshes l'shaver l'ha egozim ola l'sol l'ha l'amita v'dehu l'tzorach kufo l'shivim kum. You are allowed to move a millstone or a grinder if you're going to use it l'tzorach kufo, for its body itself, in a permitted fashion, like to break open nuts, or l'tzorach makomo, to be able to use it to climb up onto a bed, so you want to use it so that way you can get there. However, but you are not allowed to move it for its own sake, which means so that it not break, so that it not get stolen, or anything which is similar to that. Now, more broadly, aside from different types of kelim, kli shemachtel l'heter, kli shemachtel l'iser, there are things which just aren't kelim. They're not considered a vessel, such as stones, money, reeds, beams, or the like. Those are just forbidden to move. Evan gedola, o korah gedola, afal bishin yitalas basar b'nei adam, imi shoras kli aleha, metaltel nosa. The Rambam clarifies, though, if you have a big stone or a big beam, even though it requires 10 people to move it, if, for some purpose, they are designated as a utensil, as a kli, so then you are allowed to move it, considering the rules that were outlined before this halacha. Dalsos habayis, the doors of a house, af bishein kelim, even though they are vessels, lo hochne l'taltel, they haven't been prepared to be moved. Lefikach, imnis parku, if they do break off, therefore, on Shabbos, afilu b'Shabbos, even if it happened on Shabbos, eim etav tlanasa. So then you're not allowed to move them. And similarly, dirt and sand or a dead body, you're not allowed to move them from their place. And if a baby was born after 8 months of pregnancy, that doesn't apply to halacha nowadays. In the olden days, it was viewed as being unviable as a living child, and therefore, even though technically it's alive right now, it's harehu ke'even, it's treated like a stone, but also a taltal. You can't move it because it's, in a sense, like a corpse already. Again, this halacha doesn't apply nowadays. Halacha zayin. Much of the taltal akli, afilu shlo l'tzarach tashmisha, el asos bo melacha shlo nasa l'tashmisha. It's permitted to move an item, even not for the sake of using it, but to use it for some other melacha, which it's not its normal usage. Okay, so the Rambam is going to illustrate. Note Adam Kornas Lutoba Gozim, Kordo Machtoch Bodvela, Megir Legarba Esagvina, Magrifa Legrofba Esagrogros, Esarachas, Vesamaz Leg, Lesesalav Ochel Lakata, Esakosh, Esakarka Litrobo, Machach Esakon, Lutoba Esadeles, Esamachtesh Lishivaleha, Frankel Yotuze. A person can take this little hammer thing to crack open nuts, a hatchet to cut a dried fig, a saw to cut cheese, a rake to collect dried figs, this shovel they would use for winnowing, or a pitchfork to feed a child, a spindle or weaver's shuttle to pierce with, a sack maker's needle to pick a lock, or a millstone to sit on. And this applies to all similar situations. The rule is that you can use a kli, even though hypothetically it would be used for an iser purpose generally, you're allowed to use it, l'tzorach gufo, to accomplish some other malacha, a permitted malacha, not one that is a forbidden, one of the law and the test malachas. A person can carry a sewing needle, assuming one that's whole, it hasn't been broken, to remove a splinter. However, if it's broken in one way or the other, you take the head, you take the point of it, so then you cannot carry it. However, if it's still in a state where it's raw material, it hasn't yet been pierced in the first place, so then it's permitted to move it. Halacha tes. Kol kli shemakbid alav, shema yifchasu damav, kegon kelim hamuktim l'schora, vekelim ha'ikar miyoser, shemakbid alayhem, shema yipastu, asur l'taltam v'shabes, v'zu ha'nikra muksa machmas chesaron kis. There's another category of muksa, something which you are very careful with, because you don't want it to have its value decreased, either because it's very, very expensive, or because it's something which you use all the time, it has a specific purpose in business, and you don't want it to be lost from being able to do that purpose. So these are forbidden to move on Shabbos, and this is the concept which is referred to as muksa machmas chisaron kis. Gugun hamasar agadol, v'yatei jo mach reisha, v'sachin shal tabachin, v'cherev shal ush kafin, v'chitin ach harashim, v'kornos shal v'asamim v'kiyotven. Some examples of these are these big saws, this knife-like point of a plow, a butcher's knife, a leather worker's knife, a carpenter's plane, the guy who makes perfumes, mortar, and all such things. Halacha yud. Any item which has been made muksa because of some prohibition, so it's forbidden to move it. Such as a candle which had been lit on Shabbos. In that case, it's forbidden to move that candle because somebody had sinned with it. And similarly, the candelabra which a candle is on top of, the shulchan of Moz, and a table which had money on it, even though the candle might have gone out, or the money might have fallen off of it, nonetheless, asur l'taltlon, it still is forbidden to move them. Why? Shekol kli shaya asur l'taltlo bein hashmashos, nesar l'taltlo kol ha-shabbos kula, afbi shalach ha-davar shagarm lo eser. Because any item which was forbidden to move at twilight of Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, at that moment it becomes forbidden to move it all Shabbos long, even if the item which had caused it to be something which is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos has itself left. Halacha yud aleph. However, an item which has been considered mukta, is not able to be moved because of its grossness, could go ner yashan shal neft, ukliat soak, yotibhead, such as a used kerosene candle, or something which was used to hold feces, or the like, much of the tatlam of Shabbos im hutrachlan. So then they are allowed to be carried on Shabbos if they are required, if you need them. Halacha yud beis. Kol ha-kelim, and he tell him Mishabes, Shinis Parku Dalso Sehen, Kagon Dalso Shida Tevo Migdol, any item which is allowed to be moved on Shabbos, that their doors break off of them, such as one type of box or cabinet or the like, Bein shenisparku b'Shabbos, bein shenisparku kodem b'Shabbos, whether they've broken up on Shabbos or before Shabbos, much of the taltal is on dosos. You're allowed to move those doors. V'chein kol ha'kelim anitel b'Shabbos, shenishbru, bein kodem b'Shabbos, bein b'Shabbos shivrehen nitalin, v'hu shiyu shivrehen osin me'ein melachta. And similarly, any item which is allowed to be moved on Shabbos, that they break either before Shabbos or on Shabbos, those remnant pieces, those shards of this broken vessel, assuming that they are still able to do something akin to their general purpose, are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Ketzad, there I'm going to illustrate. Shivrei areva l'chasos pehedes pi chaves, shivrei zechuches l'chasos pehedes pi apach, v'chein kol kiyotzi b'zeh. Like, if you have the broken pieces of a kneading trough, you can use that to still cover the opening of a jug. Or if broken pieces of glass, they can still be used to cover the opening of a flask. And that's true in all similar situations. Aval im ein ha-shvarim ru'in l'mlacha klal, asur l'taltal. However, if they still aren't able to be used for any purpose that's useful at all, so then it's forbidden to move them. Halacha yud gimel. Kol kisui ha-kelim nitalim b'Shabbos. All covers of different vessels are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Hu she'ish toras kli alehem. This is assuming that they have the status of a vessel themselves. If a vessel is attached to the ground, such as some sort of barrel which is buried into the earth, if its lid, this cover, has a handle, so then you can move it. But if not, so then you cannot move it. And similarly, covers over the ground, like over a cistern or a ditch, you can't move its cover unless it has some handle. However, with regards to the cover of a furnace, of a big oven, so even though it doesn't have a handle, you are still nonetheless allowed to move that cover. If you have two items, one of which is forbidden to move, one is permitted to move, and they're right next to each other, or they're on top of each other, or one of them is inside of the other one, and practically speaking, at the time when you move one of them, you'll move the other one. If you need the item which is permitted to move, so you're allowed to move it, and you don't have to worry about the fact that that will cause the item which you're not permitted to move. However, if you need to move the item which it's forbidden to move, so then you're not allowed to take it along with by having taken the permitted item. Halacha test of Avdar, I'm just going to illustrate Ketzad. Paga shahayisa tumuna b'teven v'chavrara, shahayisa al-gabi gecholim, tochav makosh o b'karakor v'notlon, v'aval pisha teven v'gecholim, ninarin v'shavis v'shas nezilim. If you have a fig which is buried in a pile of straw, or you have some sort of cake lying upon coals, so now you're allowed to stick them with a spindle or a weaver's shuttle and thereby remove them, even though in that process the straw and the coals will be moved on Shabbos when you take them. V'chein lefes otznonos shahayu mitmunim ba'afar v'migzas ha'olim megulim shomtan v'shabbos ba'ala shalahen v'afal pi she'afar ninar. In a similar fashion, if you have a turnip or a radish which is buried in loose earth on Shabbos and some of the leaves are sticking out, so you're allowed to grab on to those, take the leaves and the vegetable along with it on Shabbos, even though that will cause the earth around them to fall to the side. Aval im haya kikar o tinok al gabi ha'evin o al gabi ha'kora lo yitaltal evin o ha'kora v'kikar o v'tinok sheish aleha v'rein ko yoti v'zeh. However, on the flip side, if you have a loaf of bread or a child on some stone or beam, you can't carry the stone or the beam because now that there's a child or a loaf of bread on top of it, because you really are trying to take that stone or the beam and you just have this mutter to move item on top of it, that's not going to work. And the same is true in all scenarios. Halacha tes zayin. No tel adam es beno sheish lo gaguin alav va'evin biyado avalo dinar sheim yipa dinar yelenu ha'av biyado. A person is allowed to pick up his kid if the child wants his abba to pick him up, even though the child is holding something which is muksa, like he's holding a stone in his hand. But if the child is holding a different type of muksa thing, such as a coin, so then the father cannot pick up the child because maybe the coin will fall, and the father will pick up it with his own hand. Kalkala shayisa nekuba v'sasam nekev shala v'eben mutru l'taltala sharei ha'eben nazeh skidofa. If you have a basket which has a hole in it, and a stone has been used to plug up that hole, so then you're allowed to carry the basket because the stone is considered now part of its wall. Haysa kalkala meleya peros v'eben besocha peros im hayu ha'peros rituvim kagon anavim betutim notal asa kemo shehi she'im yinai ha'peros yitanfu be'afar v'makom hefzid lo gazer. If you have a basket which is filled with fruit, and you know that there's a stone amongst the fruit. So now, if the fruit is nice and soft, like grapes or various types of berries or the like, so then you can carry the basket as it is right now. Why? Because you don't really have an alternative. If you were to spill the fruit out on the ground, they would be ruined. And therefore, Chazal did not make any sort of gezeirah on a situation where you'll have a significant loss. Halacha Yud Zayin. Chavesh Sheshachach Eben Al Piyah, Mata Al Tzida V'Hino Feles. If you, by accident, left a rock on top of a barrel, so you can tilt the barrel off to the side and then have the stone fall off. Haisa Bein Chavios V'Eben Aleha. If it was amongst different barrels and the rock is on top of it, so then Magbiya L'Makum Acher, Umata Al Tzida Shesham V'Eben Al Feles. So then, what you do in that circumstance is you lift up that particular barrel that you were dealing with and move it to another place, and then it'll be tilted on the side, and then the stone will fall off. V'chein ha'shocheach mos al-kar, v'tzarech l'kar, nor as a kar v'hein doflos. Similarly, if you, by accident, left money on a pillow, and you need that pillow, so you can shake the pillow, and then the money will fall off. Al im hiniach ha'mos me'erev Shabbos al-kar, o niach even al-pi ha'chabes. However, if you had intentionally left that money before Shabbos on that pillow, or you had placed that rock on top of that barrel, so then you can't do this concept of tilt them inside. You can't move them even though you might have a circumstance where the money or the stone have already been moved. Because, as we saw before, since at the time of Anish Mashos, they became this base for something which was forbidden, you had placed them there on purpose. So now they become forbidden all Shabbos long, even if those items are actually removed. Halacha Yuches. Ha'eben Shabbat Yeruha. If a stone has been placed into a particular type of bucket as a weight to enable the bucket to go down, so if it doesn't fall out when you draw the water with the bucket, so then it's considered a part of that bucket and you're allowed to use it to draw water with. However, if not, so then you're not allowed to use it. Beget she'alakana, shom tomei alakana. A garment which is on top of a reed is allowed to be taken off of the reed on Shabbos, even though the reed itself, it's not bent into a hanger or something like that, it's itself muksa. As long as you don't touch the reed, you just take off the garment, it's permitted. Halacha Yotes. Perish asur lechol, if there's fruit which is forbidden to eat, kagon perish enu meisarin, afilu hechayav meisar mitabrahan, such as fruit which has not yet had meisar taken off of it, even though it's only rabbinically obligated to have meisar removed. O meisar rishon shelo nedas trumaso, or if you have meisar rishon which hasn't yet had trumas meisar removed from it. O truma tmeya, or truma which has become ritually impure, which is forbidden even for a kohen to eat. O meiser sheni v'hektish lo niftu kevachasan, or meiser sheni, something which belongs to hektish, which has not been redeemed in accordance with halacha. So asur l'tatzel, all these things, since they are inedible, they are forbidden to move. Aval demai, but produce which is rabbinically forbidden to eat for your average person, because we are suspect on some level that the owner, who was an ama aretz, might not have taken off meiser, but really, we would believe that meiser had been removed. Ho v'roi l'aniyim, since Chazal permitted poor people to still eat this. V'chein meiser sheni v'hektish et patan, and similarly meiser sheni, or things which belong to the Beis HaMikdash, that have been redeemed, af al fish lonas anachomesh, even though when you redeem these things, you have to also give an additional fifth, which in our standards is a fourth, 25% extra. So, mutl l'taltlan, all these things, which are fundamentally able to be eaten in themselves, are permitted to move. Halacha chaf. A Jew who is not a Kohen is allowed to move Truma, even though he's not allowed to eat Truma. And you're allowed to move impure Truma along with pure Truma or with mundane, regular food, assuming they are in one vessel. When is that true? This is assuming that the Tahar Truma is on the bottom, and therefore, if you were to tilt them all out, then they would become disgusting when you pour them on the ground. However, if it's produce which would not get gross, such as nuts or almonds or the like, so then you tilt and shake off that vessel, and then you just take the things which you're allowed to move, such as the pure Truma or the permitted mundane food, and you leave the truma tmeya there. And if you need the actual place where the vessel is, then it doesn't matter what's on top or what's on the bottom, then you're just allowed to move it all at once. Nidbach shel avanim shechashav alav mibod yom im lemdum mutter leishiv alehen lemachar v'im lav aser. If a person had in mind to sit on a whole bunch of stones that he had placed there before Shabbos, so if he had prepared them in a fashion where he wanted to sit on them, so then he's permitted to sit on them. But if not, they were just there and he was thinking about this, so then he's not allowed to sit on them. Charayos shel dekel shegdaron le'itzim, v'nim lach le'am le'er of Shabbos le'yeshiva, but le'taltalon. If you have these branches of a date palm tree, which he had cut with the purpose of using as fuel, but then he changed his mind before Shabbos to sit on them, so it's permitted to move them on Shabbos. And similarly, if he actually had sat on them before Shabbos, so then he's also allowed to move them. The straw, which is on top of a bed, if you had a bed made with straw on top to soften it, so you're not allowed to move it with your hands, but you are allowed to move it with your body. If it's the type of straw that you could feed to an animal, so then you're allowed to move it just even with your hands. And similarly, if you had placed a pillow on it or a sheet on it, so then it's considered as if you had sat on it before Shabbos, as we saw in the previous halacha, and then you can move it even with your hand. If somebody had brought a container filled with dirt in his home, normally dirt would be muksa, but you brought it in a container and you placed it in your house. So then if you had set it aside in a specific spot on Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos and you can use it for whatever you need. Also, the batel kli mehichano b'nei shu kisoser. A separate point. Now, it's forbidden to make a vessel which was permitted to be used on Shabbos into something which now cannot be moved because, in an effect, you have destroyed that vessel, and it's like the malacha of Soser, destroy. Ketzad, the Rambam will illustrate. Lo yitin kli tachas an erba Shabbos, the Kabbalah Hashem, and I don't take. A person shouldn't put a vessel, which itself was not muksa, under a candle which is dripping on Shabbos in order to catch that oil. Shashem and Shabbos an erba also the taltalo, since the oil in that candle is forbidden to move. Kshayipol akli, and when it therefore falls into this vessel, yasser tiltal akli shayam lutcher. It's going to make that vessel which had been permitted to move into something which is forbidden to move. And so too with anything similar. Therefore, you can't put a vessel under a chicken in order to catch its egg. However, once the egg has been laid, you could put a vessel on top of it. And similarly, you can always place a vessel on top of any item which is forbidden to move on Shabbos. Because in that case, you haven't made the kli no longer usable. Because if you want, you can just take it without having in any way to interact with the forbidden thing under it. A person's allowed to place some sort of bucket, some sort of vessel under dripping water to catch it. And if it becomes full, you can just take it and pour out the water and then put it back where you had beforehand. You don't have to worry about it. This is assuming, though, that dripping water was something which you could use to wash with. But if it's not, it's gross, then you're not allowed to place it there. However, if you did place it there, you are allowed to still move that bucket with the gross water within it. Because you're really not supposed to make something which is going to be a disgusting container, literally a sack full of dung, ideally on Shabbos. But if you do, it still is permitted to move it in this case. If a barrel containing, let's say, wine or oil that is untied, it's tevel, and it breaks on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to go and place another vessel under it to catch it. Because even though it's technically forbidden to eat, since if you were to violate the rabbinic decree against fixing it and making it not tevel, tithing it, so then it would be edible. So then it's viewed in a sense as if it were edible. And you're also allowed to place a vessel under a candle to catch sparks which might be shooting off. Since they're not considered to be substantive, and therefore it's permitted to still move that vessel. If a beam breaks, you can't support that broken beam with a bench of some sort or with the post of a bed unless they were particularly wide to the point where you can still remove them without having the pressure from the beam placed on them make them unmovable. Because if you were to have them unmovable, then you, by placing them there, would make them no longer useful, and we just seen before that you're not allowed to do that to a vessel. Porson machzelas al gabi abonim b'shabes, o al gabi kaveres devorim b'chama, b'nei achama, b'gshamim b'nei gshamim, v'vachel yizkavim l'tzud, sharing nod la b'chol eis shirtza. You're allowed to spread out a mat on top of stones on Shabbos, or over a beehive, whether to protect it from the sun or from the rain, assuming you're not intending to catch the bees, which would be its own separate issue, because in this case, the item is still easily able to be removed at any point you want. The kofan has a sal b'shabbos, lifnei ha'efrochin, b'shvil sh'yalu alav, v'yerdu, sh'arei mutter l'taltalo k'shirdu me'alav. And similarly, a person is allowed to go ahead and overturn a basket onto little baby chickens, and they might climb up onto it and go down through it in order to get into their chicken coop, because it's permitted to take it whenever you want, as long as they're not actually on it. And so to anything which is similar. If an animal falls into a pit or into a little stream of water, if you're able to feed it where it is in its place, then you feed it in its place until Motzei Shabbos. But if you can't, maybe you can go and you can place pillows and blankets and the like below it, and then if it's able to climb up on its own, it climbs up. And even though in doing so, you're throwing a vessel into a place where it's not going to be usable now because you're throwing it into this pit or into the water. So nonetheless, because of the value of not causing pain to an animal, Chazal were never gozer in this situation. However, you cannot bring it up directly with your hand. And similarly, you also don't bring an animal, whether domesticated or undomesticated, a bird, out of a courtyard, but you can push it until it goes ahead and enters. And you are allowed to support an animal as it walks, this young calf, this young donkey, or the like. So if it needs your help to walk, you're allowed to help it. Tarnagola shibarcha, aim dadin osa, vimeshi nishmetes miniyad, vidimsu agafeha nitzlashin. Avodokon osa, achetikanis. If a little chicken, though, runs away from a chicken coop, so then you are not allowed to go ahead and place it back because the chicken is going to try to free itself from inside of your hands, and in the process, it's going to cause its wings to be all torn off, and therefore, you shouldn't do so. However, you are allowed to go ahead and push it until it goes and enters back into its chicken coop. That is the end of this parak, all about muktzah. We're not totally done with muktzah yet. And Rosh Hashem will continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.